Thanks Radio's update with Christian Jones.
First of my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Friday, the 22nd of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, Douglas Council explains why it's painted new signs on the road to deter people from littering cigarette ends. The government has plans to reform education laws, which have received majority support following a six-week consultation, and FC Isle of Man are set to face two games in only 3 days this weekend. Drop me a message if you want to say hello in the usual way. Text WhatsApp to 166 177. Email me at studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest with Simon Richardson. Faster, my Simon.
The Isle of Man Post Office says from tomorrow it will suspend services for sending goods to the USA. It follows a recent decision by the US government to remove the de minimis postal exemption, which previously allowed goods valued under $800 to enter without import duty. From the 29th of August, tariffs will apply to all goods sent to the USA. Items sent tomorrow or thereafter will be returned to sender. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, has granted qualified status to taxation changes introduced by the Manx government in response to new international standards. The changes, which were made in November last year, apply only to large multinational groups with annual consolidated revenues of €750 million or more. And the Department of Infrastructure says it's identified lessons following a report into the grounding of the Manxman in Douglas Harbour. On the 1st of March, the steam package flagship vessel became stuck on a hump of sediment as it was attempting to berth on the King Edward Pier. The DOI says work has begun on a number of areas, including the plough dredging of Douglas Outer Harbour, in light of the report. International news. UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy's called the confirmation of famine in Gaza City horrifying and wholly preventable. Food monitoring group the IPC says widespread hunger is being driven by fighting and a lack of aid. Israel disputes the findings. The home of John Bolton, the former National Security Advisor under the first Trump administration, is being raided by the FBI. He's now an outspoken critic of the US president. And TikTok's putting hundreds of jobs at risk in the UK. The video sharing platform says it's streamlining where it operates from. Those are the headlines. More news at 6.
Revving up for the Manx Grand Prix races. Your local Tesco has barbecue mains, celebration drinks, camping essentials and much more. Tesco, every little helps.
Gurumaya, thank you very much for that, Simon. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. This evening will be dry but largely cloudy with light or west-northeast winds, minimum temperature of 14 degrees Celsius overnight. Tomorrow, though, generally dry but cloudy at first. However, bright or sunny intervals will then begin to develop in the afternoon. Light, mainly southerly winds and top temperatures of 20 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrit Trading Estate.
TE Cabin provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cabin, here when you need us.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made to measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.in.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452-688.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 5 minutes past five here on Manx Radio's Update. Welcome to the programme. Now, you may have spotted a number of new bits of paint on the roads in Douglas advertising the drains are not the place for cigarette ends. It reads, not a bin for butts. while Douglas Council has partnered with the UK charity Keep Britain Tidy in an effort to reduce the amount of cigarette litter across the city. Leader Devon Watson says the project is part of a broader agenda of cleaning up the capital. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been speaking with him.
Generally, it forms part of our standard sort of street cleansing operations. But I mean, this affects more than just the staff of Douglas City Council. It also affects like a lot of business owners who have to spend time clearing away cigarette butts from their front porch. It affects wildlife. It affects people who visit and they see that on the streets. And that's not really the imagery you want to propose going forward. So it's one of those things that forms part of our standard duties, and it's something that we're going to continue to do. But I think it's just about changing the cultural mindset that cigarette butts at the end of the day are litter fundamentally.
Why is the council partnering with Keep Britain Tidy for this scheme?
This forms part of our broader mission we have as a new council, and our job is to clean up Douglas. It's just generally the fact that people deserve fundamentally to have a clean, safe environment, and people fundamentally deserve to be proud of the community that they're in. And this is work that is long overdue, and people are really, really good at generally not littering, and it's just changing the conception that cigarette butts themselves are litter. So essentially what we want to do is start a program of installing that infrastructure to dispose of them in a responsible way, but also changing the conception that, oh, hey, after you finish the smoke, don't just sort of chuck it on the ground, maybe find a place to dispose of it in a more responsible way.
How will you be getting the message across? We've had a couple of people contact us about spray paint on the floor around North Quay. Is that something that you guys have done, or is that something the local businesses in the area have taken upon themselves to do?
It's a mix of both, right? So it's one of the ways that we found is quite helpful at dealing with dog fouling. Once you highlight that this is an area that is being monitored, this is an area that's being watched, what we find is a marked decline in that being there.
That's the leader of Douglas Council, Devon Watson, there. Well, the CEO of the charity, Keep Britain Tidy, says cigarette butts are the most littered item, and it's an almost impossible task for volunteers and clean-up crews to collect them at events especially like the Manx Grand Prix. Alison Ogden-Newton says similar campaigns organised by the charity across the UK have led to a noticeable decrease in litter.
Well, we're really excited about the campaign that we're doing currently with the council, because what we're trying to do here during the Grand Prix is encourage people smoking outdoors to either find a bin. We've deployed lots of special bins with signage pointing where the bins are. We're also distributing butt boxes through loads of businesses. The council are distributing them. These are little black plastic boxes you can carry in your pocket, which can take up to 6 butts, which allows people to get rid of them on the go and then empty the butt box when they finally get to a bin. So we're really hoping everyone gets on board. 80% of cigarettes that are smoked outdoors will be littered, and that really feels completely unacceptable. So we're hoping everybody gets on board, wants to do the right thing, and helps us make a real difference during the Grand Prix and make sure that none of those cigarette butts end up on the ground.
What do you hope visitors to the island, as well as the locals, will get out of the campaign?
We've got our lovely Drake wandering around reminding people that cigarette butts are rubbish, and it's good fun. We're hoping everybody enjoys that, enjoys the messaging, enjoys all the crazy signage with the duck feet. Really, what we're hoping is that people will start using butt boxes, use the bins, and really change the habits of a lifetime for some people, and make sure that every time that they do smoke a cigarette, that they make sure that they dispose of it properly, don't end up either flicking it on the ground or putting it down a drain.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, before I begin this next story, I want to give you a forewarning that it's about baby loss and miscarriage, and it'll last for approximately 2 minutes. Today is Rainbow Baby Day on the island. This year's theme is Community Matters, in the hope of highlighting the importance of strong support networks for families navigating pregnancy after loss. Diane Rubery is Manx Care's maternity bereavement lead and has been telling Amy Griffiths what a rainbow baby is.
A rainbow baby is a baby that is born after the parents have lost a baby already. So they are very special babies, because I will see them as a gift given by their sibling, the one that was lost.
For parents who are going through a second pregnancy, having had an unsuccessful one, how tough can that be?
Incredibly tough from the very get-go, because the parents are constantly referring to what happened with the first baby. And often the parents aren't able to enjoy this pregnancy because of what happened with the previous one. So it can cause very much stress and anxiety to the point where some parents just don't enjoy it at all.
And I think as well, when you then have a successful pregnancy and you have a baby at the end of it and you feel that love, it makes you think of what could have been with your previous pregnancy as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it does. It also reminds the parents of what might have been. So one lady said to me, I've seen the colour of my baby's eyes this time and I never saw them last time. And to me, that really did hit home that how tragic the loss of a baby can be.
From the perspective of the midwifery team, is there any extra consideration that's given to pregnant women coming in who are pregnant having had a miscarriage?
Yes. So when they book with the next pregnancy, we actually have a system where we can give them a lanyard or a calling card that they can actually have visible so that midwives and doctors actually know that they've lost a child and they don't need to constantly have to tell the midwife or the doctor what actually happened.
So what would your main message be then to anybody listening who has been through this before?
Be kind to yourselves. Have the time to be able to just enjoy that pregnancy. See if you're able to, even if it's only very small things that you do, to actually just help yourself get through the days until your baby's here.
Well, that's Diane Rubery from Manx Care there. And if you've been affected by anything discussed in that story, then help is available over at manxradio.com/support. Now, the Isle of Man government's plans to update education law have received strong public backing, according to the results of a recent consultation. Simon Richardson joins us now. So what exactly was this about?
Faster my Christian. Well, the Department of Education, Sport and Culture ran a six-week consultation early this year on its proposed Education Amendment Bill. The aim is to modernise the island's education laws, many of which are now more than 20 years old. In total, 387 people responded, including parents, teachers, education professionals and members of the public.
And what did people say? Were the proposals well received?
Broadly, yes. There was strong support for most of the changes. For example, 4 in 5 respondents backed the creation of a so-called virtual school to support children in care, while almost 90% supported new alternative provision centres for pupils who can't be safely educated in mainstream schools. Safeguarding changes were also widely supported, with around 84% in favour of stronger information sharing between agencies.
But not every proposal was as popular, I would presume.
That's right. Some areas were more contested. Changes to religious education, which would broaden teaching beyond Christianity to cover multiple beliefs, drew mixed responses, with just under 2/3 in favour but almost 100 people against. School admissions were also divisive. Just under 6 in 10 agreed schools should be able to declare themselves full at capacity, while 1/3 opposed giving head teachers the power to refuse entry if it might prejudice existing pupils.
And what happens next, I suppose, is the question.
Well, the department says the feedback will now help shape the final bill before it goes before Tynwald for debate. They've described themselves as grateful to everyone who contributed and say the responses will be used to refine the policy principles.
Simon Richardson, thank you for that. Right, let's take a look at the travel now.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, roads around the mountain course are open again, but if we look ahead to tomorrow, it's the first race day of this year's MGP, so the course will be closing tomorrow morning at 9:30, and roads can stay closed if needs be until 9 o'clock in the evening. Elsewhere in Peel, a short stretch of Glenfaber Road is closed near the new sewage treatment plant for installation of a new water main, and traffic is being diverted by the Patrick Road, St John's and the main A1 in and out of Peel. Over in Ramsey, temporary lights on the Andrus Road near the Grove Museum for substation work. Let's take a look at the steam packet. Everything's looking all good there. Something to be aware of, I suppose. Bus Vanin says it's seeing significant delays. So if you are expecting a bus anytime soon, then it may be delayed by up to 30 minutes in some areas. We'll take a look at the airport now. A few things to be aware of on the arrivals board. The 3:10 Logan Air from Birmingham, not due until 6. The 7:25 Logan Air from Edinburgh, not due until 7:45. On the departures board, 5:30 Manchester has a 30-minute delay. The 6:50 EasyJet to London Gatwick, that's delayed until 7:35. And the 7:55 Logan Air to Edinburgh, that's not due on the runway until at least 8:15.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Keyside.
Bashing government handling of public sector pensions used to be top of the list for wannabe MHKs looking for an easy vote-winning target. So what, if anything, has changed? The deficit between contributions and payments will be around £48 million this year. That's slightly less than the net spend for the Department of Infrastructure, so it remains a substantial sum. But the Public Sector Pensions Authority argue that the Tenwald approved plan is getting this under control. Find out more on Perspective this Sunday at 12 on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Are gold-plated government pensions really a thing of the past? Well, it seems so.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
16 minutes past 5 on Manx Radio's update. A Manx charity that provides pet food for owners who are facing hard times says demand has skyrocketed recently. This is the Pet Food Pantry, which says it's been getting requests from 8 to 10 new users a week. The organisation was established in 2023 in response to the rising cost of living to help owners keep their existing family pets when faced with giving them up. Founder Helen McCaffer says the need for donations right now is critical.
People are particularly struggling, and some of these, they go to these other, you know, services and organisations for help, and they refer them when they have pets onto us just to help ease the burden a little bit. So now we're more established and people are aware of us. Yeah, we literally have, in the past few weeks, been getting 8 to 10 new users a week. Once a fortnight, Marie and I take a day and we drive around and do deliveries around the whole island. So, yeah, we cover the whole island. A lot of the people who use our service don't drive, so we find it easier if we just take time and deliver it out to them. So, yeah, we're really busy at the minute.
What would really help ease the burden on you in the weeks ahead?
So we have an Amazon wish list and we update that regularly. So if anyone was in a position to donate any item from the wish list to us, that gets delivered directly to us and then we can distribute it amongst our users. We also have, which will be on my Facebook page, collection points where they can drop off donations around the island. If anybody worked in like a large office or had a business and they wanted to do a little day, maybe collecting food for us and we could come and pick it up when they have, that would be amazing. Times are extremely tough for a lot of people out there. And if we don't continue to receive donations, unfortunately, it's not a service we can offer. So as long as the donations keep coming in, we're more than happy to keep offering this service.
Well, that's Helen McCaffer there from the Pet Food Pantry. And you can find more details about that over at manxradio.com. Now, get yourself ready for this one. Did you know it's a legal requirement to trim your bush? I say bush, I mean trees, but that got your attention. Now, the government is reminding landowners of their responsibilities to manage their trees to ensure they don't become overgrown or neglected, causing damage, creating obstructions and posing a risk to public safety. I sat down with the Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Hayward.
So we've got a risk to pedestrians and to vehicles from trees falling over when they're dead and dying, especially we know when we've seen it when we've had storms rolling in that we get a number of downed trees. And for several of those trees, it was obvious that they were diseased and dying before the storm hits. And it's the storm that just pushes them over that final bit. And so we run a considerable risk for our highways users at the time. And obviously, you've seen the department work alongside the Met Office and issue, you know, instructions about not travelling when the risks are really high. We also have an ongoing risk of tree boughs being allowed to grow down into the roadway. So I've just been at a meeting with Busvanen this week. And we have a bus that's out of service at the moment because it was hit by a low branch on a tree. And so we've got ongoing damage that occurs not just to our vehicles, but to other people's vehicles as well. And we're trying to remind people that if you're a landowner and you have trees on your land, even though they overhang the highways and the pavements, they are your responsibility to deal with those trees and to make sure that they're maintained.
And maintaining them isn't just a case of being mindful and perhaps considerate, it is actually a legal requirement as well.
Yep, it's a legal requirement for them. We've got, you must keep them trimmed so that there's at least 5.3 metres above the road, or 17.5 foot in old money, and 2.4 metres above footpaths, or 8 foot in old money. We also know that overgrowing vegetation obscures streetlights, it obscures signage as well, and it can block people's view when they're turning out of junctions. So this is a general appeal to landowners to deal with the vegetation that they've got, that they're responsible for, and to cut it back. Obviously, the department has powers to step in, and we could serve notice on landowners if they don't deal with dangerous trees. And if necessary, we could carry out the work and then pass the costs on to the landowners, and we could issue a fine to go with that as well.
That's the Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Hayward.
Your name's not Dan, you're not coming.
Make Floor Fillers the soundtrack to your Saturday night with me, Chris Quirk. Relive the best nights of your life with dance anthems from the 90s onwards. We'll also be firing up the decks in the studio and going in the mix for 20 minutes of uninterrupted anthems. Whether you're dressed to impress for a night out or vibing at home with friends, Floor Fillers brings you the energy to kickstart your Saturday night tomorrow from 8 on Manx Radio.
Thank you, Chris. 21 minutes past five. Now let's turn our attention to the Manx Grand Prix. Fans say they're enjoying the combined Manx Grand Prix and the Classic TT schedule thus far. Racegoers welcome the variety of races this year, as they spoke to Darren Timpson at the grandstand.
It's maybe not got quite the buzz of the TT, but in lots of ways it's better because it is a bit quieter and it's a bit like VIP TT. First time here, been to the TT before, but not the Manx. Really enjoying the slightly sort of quieter atmosphere on the island, and then once the racing starts, totally absorbed in the race, it's completely like the TT, you forget you're not at the TT.
They've obviously got the Classic TT this year. Do you think that's added to the schedule?
Yeah, definitely. It feels like two for one.
Do you think it needs to do more to maybe attract more people to it?
Well, no, I think it's unique on its own, really. You know, that's what you enjoy watching, you know, the old classic stuff, really, and see what people's got in the garages. And a good mix, yeah.
The Classic TT's returned this year as well, so what have you made of the schedule?
Well, looking at what there is, like I say, it's pretty good, yeah. I think there's a good mix.
What have you made of the grandstand?
Yeah, looks good. Like I say, by this evening it should be filling up nicely, I would have thought, yeah.
What have you made of the MGP Classic TT so far?
Yeah, I think it's been good. You know, business has been good every day, and the weather's, makes it as well. But yeah, all in all, pretty good.
How do you think it's compared to previous years? Is it quieter or is it a bit busier than it's been previously?
I think it's probably busier. I mean, we've been sort of steady trade every day since we've opened up, really.
Is there anything you'd like to see maybe improved at the grandstand during the MGP?
Not really. I'll say we're happy with the pitch we've got and, you know, the passing trade we've got.
That's Darren Timpson speaking with some of the fans over at the grandstand. Well, what are your thoughts? Text WhatsApp to 166 177 studio@manxradio.com. Are you happy with the combined Classic TT and the MGP this year? Let me know. Right, sport on the way next.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Well, it's a busy bank holiday weekend that awaits for FC Isle of Man as they face two games in 3 days at the NWCFL Premier Division. Tomorrow, they'll travel to take on Ramsbottom United before heading to Wythenshawe on Monday. Ravens manager Paul Jones explains how challenging a weekend like this is to prepare for.
It's very difficult, especially because they're both away games. So the majority of the squad will be doing a day trip on the boat on the Saturday, and then a lot of players will have to go again and do the same on the Monday as well. So it takes an awful lot out of the group to do that. And more often than not, we seem to play some of the better teams in our league over this bank holiday weekend over the last kind of 3 or 4 years. So they're two very, very difficult games against teams who a lot of people would expect to be up at the top of the table. And, you know, we've obviously got to, you know, really get ourselves together and make sure we're in as good a place as possible and recover as well as we possibly can after the Saturday game to be able to go again on the Monday. So, yeah, it's a big ask, but, you know, we believe that the players are capable of meeting that challenge.
When you have, like this weekend, coming two games in 3 days, squad changes are, from your side of things, I'd imagine, inevitable, really. But does it give you a bit of a chance to kind of assess some players who may be on the fringes a little bit, how they might fit into the system in the long term?
Yeah, I think so, especially with the Ramsbottom game, Saturday game, coming at relatively late notice. You know, when the fixtures came out, that was a free weekend. So there are some players that are planned on that basis, so that aren't available on the Saturday and then are on the Monday. So yeah, we've got players that believe they're good enough to be playing in the team and are patiently waiting for an opportunity, and some of them will get that, whether that's at the starting 11 or off the bench on Saturday and Monday. So, you know, like Joe Middleton did at the Abbey Hay game last weekend, you know, will they take it? And if they do, then, you know, it takes a further step forward, doesn't it, in terms of kind of claiming a shirt in the future. So, yeah, it's a good opportunity for people to stake a claim, and we're going to need them to do that for sure to hopefully take 3 points off Ramy and Withenshaw over the two fixtures.
That's Ravens boss Paul Jones speaking there. Good luck to FC Isle of Man. And we'll stick with sport. We can say Fastamai to Darren Timpson.
Fastamai, starting with the Classic TT and Manx Grand Prix qualifying today. Jamie Williams set the fastest lap of the week so far. He recorded 119.444 miles per hour to top the Manx senior session. Michael Dunlop topped the lightweight Classic with a lap of 116.491 miles per hour, whilst John McGuinness was fastest in the historic senior. He reached 112.167 miles per hour. Tomorrow, the action will continue with the first day of MGP racing. The three-lap Super Twin event will begin at 10:15 a.m. and the four-lap Supersport race starts at 1 p.m. Then the Classic TT, Formula One and Lightweight qualifying begins at 3 p.m. and at 3:45 p.m. the Historic Senior and Junior qualifying will end the day. In football, Foxtel's Magic Carpets have won the Women's Super League Cup. They beat Electric Design Solutions 2-0 at the ball last night. Goals came from Holly Sumner and Jenny Metcalf as they completed the win over the runners-up. Eight teams were involved in the competition, which came to a head on Thursday evening. The 2025-26 Women's Canada Live Premier League season will begin on 14th of September. In rugby, Douglas will welcome off-island opposition for a pre-season fixture tomorrow. The Manx side will take on Ballymena Rugby Club at Portici this Saturday, with kick-off scheduled at 6:30 p.m. As part of preparations for their next campaign in Regional 2 Northwest, which is due to get on the way with a home clash against division newcomers North Ribblesdale on Saturday, 6 September. And in tennis, Isle of Man star Billy Harris will have a chance to make it to the opening round of the US Open tonight. He faces Hong Kong's Coleman Wong for a place in the tournament, which should take place at 6 p.m.
Good, Maya. Thank you very much for that, Darren. Well, that is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Simon Richardson. Stick around. Ben Cunningham is up next with an extended greatest hit. It's going to be a good one. Howard Kane has Sweet and Swing from 9, then last but not least, Rian Evans in the hot seat from 10. No update on Monday because it's a bank holiday, so I'll catch up with you on Tuesday. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.